people seek the truth. Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action, from suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
Shalom, brothers and sisters. Today I would like to talk to you about spiritual maturity and what does it really look like. So when we think about this, we want to grow spiritually. We want to become more than we were. We want to move forward. There's no neutrality with our Creator. We're either moving forward or backwards. There's no standing still. So we want to make sure that we're becoming mature believers in Messiah. And how do we measure this? How do we know that we're growing spiritually? And what does spiritual maturity truly look like? For most people, they measure spiritual maturity by how much knowledge they have about the scriptures or how long they've been believers. And some of them say how many people they influence, or if it's somebody who's doing teachings, how many sermons have they preached? And how many people, praise them and have great things to say them? Or how successful does their ministry appear? How many people, how many followers that I have on the internet? That's a big one. How well known is that person is. But our Creator measures different than He measures the way people measure. Our Creator doesn't look at those things. One of the greatest signs that Messiah is transforming us is we become less concerned with ourselves and more concerned that Yeshua receives the glory. Now, there are many pastors and YouTube preachers and people that say, all the glory go to Him, not to me. But at the same time, they're using all these man-made things to get popular. And whether they mean it or not, it certainly doesn't seem they want the glory to go to our Creator, because they're certainly soaking in their fame that they have here. How can people notice me? How can people really become to like me and follow me? But a mature believer doesn't do those things. A mature believer asks, how many people see Messiah through me? That is true spiritual progress. Not how can I become more well known, but how can people see me and see Yeshua? So we think about this and we look at examples of spiritual maturity in Scripture. We see John the Baptist, who had every reason to seek popularity. The crowds followed him, and many people respected him. Many even wondered if he was Messiah. But Yeshua, when he came, began his ministry, John's response revealed the heart of a true servant. In John 3:27 to 30, he says, John answered, a man can receive nothing unless he's been given it to him from heaven. You yourself testify that I say I am not the Messiah, but rather I have been sent before him, the one who is the bride in the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is complete. He must increase while I decrease. Notice John's attitude. Notice he didn't come to compete. He didn't become jealous. He wasn't seeking to protect his ministry. He rejoiced when people left him to follow Yeshua. That is a heart that has died to itself. When someone else's ministry grows, can we rejoice? When another person receives a recognition, can we sincerely thank Yahweh? When no one notices our services, Do we still remain faithful? These questions reveal our spiritual maturity. And they're different than what we often look at or think about ourselves as I'm growing. There's a difference between growing and growing closer to Yeshua. There's a difference. Where are you growing? Is your numbers on your website growing? Is the numbers in your congregation growing? Have you went from a popular church to a mega church? Just because you're a mega church doesn't mean you're spiritually mature. Just because you have any church doesn't mean you're spiritually mature. When you want people to see less of you and more than him, now we're looking at spiritual maturity. See, a flesh wants the recognition. A flesh wants to be popular, and the enemy feeds into that. You know, a sinful nature consistently desires honor. It wants applause and appreciation, titles and influence and importance. You know, even good works can become opportunities for pride. Yeshua warned about this repeatedly. In Matthew 6, verse 1, he said, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before man to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven." Notice the warning. The problem is not doing righteous deeds. The problem is doing them to be seen. Yahweh always looks beyond the action, and he examines the motive. Proverbs is another word for wisdom. And in wisdom 16:2, it says, "All a person's ways are pure in his own eyes, but Yahweh weighs his motives." People see actions. Yahweh sees our motives. We may fool others, but we can never fool our wonderful Creator. Yeshua is a perfect example in this, what we're talking about. No one deserved honor more than him, yet no one humbled himself more than him. Philippians 2, verses 3 to 8 says, "Do nothing out of selfishness or conceit, but with humility consider others as more important than yourselves, looking out not only for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which also was in Messiah Yeshua, who, through existing in the form of God, did not consider being equal to God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave, becoming the likeness of a man, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Think about that. The King of Kings became a servant. The Creator washed dirty feet. The Judge of the world accepted mockery. If anyone deserves the glory, it should be him. Yet, he willing to humble himself. And if our Messiah chose humility, how can his servants demand honor? People do not understand or comprehend or connect how our Creator can do this. But this is the difference about the flesh and the spirituality in us, and the spiritual maturity. You know, you got humility on the highest level. And the world today has pride on the highest level. And the enemy wants to push us towards that pride. Many people want Yahweh's power, but few want Yahweh's humility. But the two cannot be separated. James 4, 6 to 10 says, "But he gives greater grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore submit to God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy into gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of Yahweh, and he shall lift you up. Notice something important. Yahweh does not merely ignore pride. He opposes it. Imagine trying to minister while God himself is resisting you. That is why humility is not optional. It's essential. The goal is Yahweh's glory. Everything should point people towards the Messiah, not ourselves. As we read the scriptures, we see the Apostle Paul understood this. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, he says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of Yahweh." Everything, working, serving, teaching, parenting, business, ministry, everything exists for his glory. Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Yeshua, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Our lives should continually point people towards him. If people remember our name but forget Yeshua, we have failed. If they forget our name but remember Messiah, we have succeeded. When I meet people, I don't want people saying, "What an impressive person that was." Or "I really like that person." I want them to say, "Wow. After speaking to that person, I want to have a relationship with Yeshua. After seeing what that person has, I want that also." It can't be about us. It has to be about him. We need to ask ourselves these things. Take a self-examination. You know, ask yourself, are you fine or disappointed when no one thanks you? Do you often compare yourself to others? How well do you enjoy compliments? The glory is supposed to go to our Creator, not to us. Psalms 115, verse 1 says, "Not to us, Yahweh, not to us, but your name give glory because your love kindness, because your truth." This should become the prayer of every believer. Not to me, not to my ministry, not to my reputation, but to your name alone. True spiritual growth is not becoming more important. It's becoming more surrendered. John the Baptist gave us one of the greatest definitions of spiritual maturity. He must increase while I decrease. And Yahweh can trust us with greater responsibility because he knows the glory will return to him. I pray that myself, the ministry that Yah's blessed me with to reach other people, can help people see more of Yeshua and less of me. I didn't make my ministry Paul Neeson ministry. I made a Torah life ministry. It's about the instructions and the life that Yeshua brings in those instructions. It's not about me. He must increase. I must decrease. And when we think about that, we remember, we get to understand that Yahweh's strength is perfect in our weakness. One of the greatest lies our flesh believes and the enemy tries to give us is that Yahweh can only use me more if I become stronger. And the Bible teaches the opposite. The Bible says we must become weaker and dependent on Yahweh. I can't do anything without him. We understand the enemy wants to push us to us and me and my. Well, Yahweh says, "I'm here for you. I'll help you. Just trust in me." You know, we look at one of the greatest servants of Yahweh ever, and the Apostle Paul, and we look what he did and how Yahweh used him. He used him to plant churches. Much of the Renewed Covenant was written by him. But at the same time, he endured incredible persecution. And yet, he never credited his success to his own abilities. Instead, he spoke about his weakness. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 to 10 says, "Therefore, to keep me from becoming conceited, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger from Satan to torment me, so that I would not become conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it might leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness, so that Messiah's power may dwell in me. Therefore, I delight in weakness, in insults, in distress, in persecutions, in difficulties, for Messiah's sake. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong.'" Notice Paul's conclusion. Notice it. He didn't say, "When I become stronger, when I become smarter, when I become more gifted." He said, "Whenever I am weak, I am strong." God's power shines brightest when we recognize our inability. Remember that, folks. I'll never forget when I first became a believer and I saw Joni Erickson Tada give a lecture live in person. She was in a wheelchair on the stage. And this is a lady who, when she was a teenager, dove inside a lake headfirst and got completely paralyzed from her neck down. And to hear her story, her life, amazing inspiration. I couldn't get out of my mind. And her greatest thing was, "In my weakness, I am made stronger. His grace is sufficient enough for me." Why does our Creator allow weaknesses? Most of us pray to get those weaknesses removed. But sometimes Yahweh says, "No, I'm going to use it." Weakness has purpose. It keeps us humble. Without weakness, we begin trusting ourselves. We begin believing, "I accomplished this. I built this. I deserve the credit." It continually reminds us everything good comes from our Creator. That's what weakness does. It's a reminder to avoid pride and stay humble. James 1 verse 17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." Every gift, every ability, every opportunity, everything comes from Him. Remember, I always talk about the order of our Creator, the pattern of our Creator throughout Scripture, that Yahweh repeatedly is choosing unlikely people, not because they're impressive, but because His glory becomes unmistakable. We look at Moses. When Yahweh called Moses, Moses immediately focused on his weaknesses. In Exodus 4, verses 10 to 12, Moses said to Yahweh, "Please, my Lord, I have never been eloquent, not yesterday, nor the day before, nor since you have spoken to your servant. For I have a slow mouth and a heavy tongue." Then Yahweh said to him, "Who has made man's mouth, or makes one mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, Yahweh? Now go, I will be with your mouth and teach you what to say." Yahweh did not deny Moses' weakness. He promised his presence. We look at Gideon. When Yahweh called Gideon to deliver Israel, Gideon saw only limitations in Judges 6:14-16. Then Yahweh turned to him and said, "Go in this strength of yours and save Israel from Midian. Have I not sent you?" But he said to him, "Please, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Look, my clan is the weakest in Messiah, and I am the youngest in my father's house." Yet Yahweh answered him and said, "Surely I will be with you, and you will strike down Midian as one man." Notice again, Yahweh never said, "Gideon, you're actually stronger than you think." Instead, he said, "I will be with you." Yahweh's presence is greater than our own ability. This is a pattern to all through Scripture, and it doesn't change with us. We look at David. When Samuel came to anoint Israel's next king, everyone looked at the older brothers. Yahweh looked elsewhere. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. But Yahweh said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearances or at his tall stature, because I have rejected him. For Yahweh does not see man as man sees man. For a man looks at the outward appearance, but Yahweh looks at the heart." You see, folks, people judge appearance. Yahweh examines the heart. The world values strength. Yahweh values humility. And then finally, we look at Yeshua himself, who taught dependence. Our culture today celebrates independence. The kingdom celebrates dependence upon Yahweh. Yeshua compared us to branches. Branches cannot survive by themselves. John 15, verses 4 and 5 says, "Abide in me and I in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. The one who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing." Notice the final words. "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Not a little, nothing. The strongest Christian is the one who knows how to depend upon Messiah. Do we understand that it's the weakness that produces the greatest faith? Every trial forces us to decide, will I trust my Messiah or will I trust myself? Peter wrote that trials produce something valuable in 1 Peter 16, verse 7. "You rejoice in this greatly, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. These trials are so that the true metal of your faith, far more valuable than gold, which perishes through refined by fire, may come to light and praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Messiah Yeshua." Faith grows in difficult places, not comfortable places. We must boast only in Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah. Paul reached a place where he refused to boast about himself in Galatians 6, verse 14. "But I may never boast except in the cross of our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Imagine living in that way. Not boasting in your ministry or your education or your knowledge or your accomplishments. Only Messiah. For a lot of people say, "I did this, this, and this, and I have this degree and I did this." For I say, the Messiah changed my life and changed my heart and I walk with him daily. Only Messiah. Without him, nothing, not a little, nothing can be completed. Instead of asking, "Lord, why am I so weak?" we need to ask, "What do you want to teach me through this weakness?" Perhaps you have a different weakness than somebody else. For some of you, it might be your finances, or your health, or your personality, or your fear, or struggles in your family. Whatever it is, Yahweh can use it. Sometimes the greatest miracle isn't removing the weakness, it's revealing his strength through it. Hallelujah! In Isaiah 40, verses 29 to 31, it says, He gives strength to the weary, and to the one without vigor he adds might. Even youth grow tired and weary, and a young man stumble and fall, but they who wait for Yahweh will renew their strength. They will soar up with the wings of eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Yahweh gives strength not to the self-confident, but to the weary who depend upon Him. Folks, listen. The world says, believe in yourself. The scriptures say, believe in our Creator. The world says, become stronger. The kingdom says, remain dependent. The world says, promote yourself. Messiah says, abide in me. The strongest believer is not the one with the greatest natural ability. It is the one who has learned to trust Yahweh completely. When we become small, His greatness becomes visible. Remember, the enemy wants to use pride to knock us down. And when we focus on us, pride is leading the way. Our Creator wants us to be kind and humble and not to be well known or seek fame. He wants us to just let those know about Yeshua. That's our calling. That's our goal. Not what we've done, but what Yeshua's done. Not what we've accomplished, but what He's accomplished. And how He used us. And how He uses us. And how we can use each one of you. So I pray, folks, that you're getting this and you're realizing this. And it's okay if we've been messing up or seeking all the glory. We're saying we seek the glory to Him, but we know we've been seeking it. And now we make that change. And we repent. And we move forward. And He knows our hearts. We move forward. From now on, it's not about me. It's about you, Yah. Hallelujah. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Have a blessed, blessed day. Yah be with you. We'll be back with another part of this message in the next message. Shalom, shalom. Thank you, everybody. We have prayer every morning on our YouTube channel, Torah Life Ministries. And we also have live fellowship Friday nights at 8 p.m. or 10 p.m. You could join us on our YouTube channel as well. Thank you for your support so we can be on this radio station. Please, if you're called to give, that's what keeps us on the air here on WCNO. We appreciate it. You can give through our website, TorahLifeMinistries.org. Yah be with you and shalom, shalom.
You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida, 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support. Torah Life
Ministry. The Treasure Coast Christian Alliance is a growing association of leaders from the business, civic, and ministry areas on the Treasure Coast of Florida. In these blessed communities, we reside, work, play, and pray together. Our mission is to encourage strong relationships among God's people through Holy Spirit-anointed fellowship. Leaders inspired to overcome barriers to Christian unity bring God's people together on the common ground of the gospel. For more information, visit us online at tccalliance.com or reach us at 772-324-9313.
The views and opinions of programmers heard on WCNO are the responsibility of the participants and producers of the program and may not reflect the views and opinions of the staff or management of WCNO.